An Army major named D.J. Skelton retired on Monday at a ceremony in Arlington, Virginia. In attendance were family, friends, and fellow soldiers, also a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and senior Pentagon officials. A four-star Army general presided, not the usual crowd when a mid-ranking officer leaves service. NPR Veterans Correspondent Quill Lawrence brings us the story of Major D.J. Skelton, retired.
D.J. Skelton shouldn't even be here. He enlisted in 1996 after flunking out of college. In the Army, he learned Mandarin Chinese at the Defense Language Institute, but he wasn't on a path to becoming an officer.
Good afternoon. I'm Colonel Mike Lewin, United States Army, retired.
Mike Lewin and others pushed Skelton to apply to West Point. Lewin was the MC at Skelton's retirement this week.
And less than 24 hours ago, Major D.J. Skelton asked me to take on this duty.
Skelton got into West Point, but he really shouldn't have made it through there either. Four-star General Robert Brown explained at the ceremony.
He joined the class of 2003. Now, I couldn't believe this when I read it. I thought it was a misprint, but I checked the facts.
The facts were a horrible rap sheet of misbehavior.
400 hours walked on the area. I didn't think that was possible.
Those were hours of punishment. But somehow he still graduated and became an officer. But the real reason D.J. Skelton shouldn't be here was the Second Battle of Fallujah in November 2004. He told me the story in his kitchen.
The back of the road just lit up like a huge flashlight, and it was just a barrage of RPGs, mortar rounds, and it was clear that we were ambushed.
He was leading his platoon. Two rocket-propelled grenades hit the overpass they were defending.
One exploded. I think one did not. The head broke off, went through my leg, and then I got shot quite a bit.
Right.
For that. My medic was with me. He got shot. My RTO was with me. He got shot. Both lived.
Skelton was blasted in the left arm, right leg, and chest. What really should have killed him was a piece of shrapnel that entered his right cheek, destroyed the roof of his mouth, and exited out his left eye.
I could hear people screaming, and then all of a sudden the pain, the most incredible feeling of pain.
And just like that, his Army career should have been over.
And then I remember waking up at Walter Reed. And then I have doctors that are telling me, well, you're never going to rock climb, you're never going to run, you're not going to do half the things that were a source of happiness for me as a kid that were part of who I was. And now the Army is saying, yeah, you're not fit for duty, you cannot serve. I had a hard time with that.
At the time, Walter Reed Hospital was getting overwhelmed with casualties that the military clearly hadn't planned for. No one was there to show someone like Skelton that life could go on. Luckily, his rock climbing friends did.
Some friends showed up and kidnapped me.
He'd been in the hospital nearly a year.
And threw me in the back of a Jeep and drove me out to a local rock climbing crag place. And we had a great time. But that was just this very powerful moment in my life. There was this community that just felt motivated to not give up on me.
And that's one of the reasons D.J. Skelton says he is still here. He stayed in the Army despite the loss of his left eye and his palate and lasting damage to his right leg and left arm. And in 2007, he co-founded an organization called Paradox Sports so other vets could have the same experience.
Hello.
That's how I met Skelton about 5 years ago. He and a team of professional climbers took a group of disabled vets up an 800-foot cliff called the Snake Dike in Yosemite National Park. NPR interviewed him, dangling off the ropes.
I'm about to pass you in just 1 second to D.J. Skelton.
Hi, this is Audie Cornish. Are you in a safe space to talk?
Of course. How are you doing?
Great. Now, people have talked about, obviously, the camaraderie of being in the service. How is this similar to that?
As a veteran, it's amazing. I've never served with any of the other brothers and sisters in arms that are out here, the other vets. But we speak the same language, and we sit around the campfire at night, and we tell stories that only we can relate to and the climbers around us. And in turn, the climbers talk a different language. So to combine all of that experience that brings us all together is pretty powerful.
Well, D.J. Skelton, thank you for your service, and thank you for talking with us.
You bet.
Skelton's work with wounded troops and his desire to show that they could still be useful to the Army landed him a policy job advising the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. But his career didn't end there, which is another reason Skelton shouldn't be here. In 2011, after dozens of surgeries and still dealing with, for example, the shrapnel holes in his mouth that sometimes let food slip into his airway, Skelton asked to be sent back to war. He passed all the physical tests and joined his old unit in Afghanistan. His commander was then Colonel, now General, D.A. Sims.
DJ had this really hellish town.
Skelton was leading foot patrols in the infamous Panjway district. Taliban shot at them almost every time they left the outpost.
He had instant credibility with the young men that he was leading at the time. This is leadership by example.
Sims says any disability was overcome by Skelton's ability to lead. Skelton doesn't completely agree with that. His men all made it home, but the thought that he might lose one of them because he wasn't physically 100% haunted him. And here's the last reason he maybe shouldn't be here.
So, we just get this over with.
At his retirement, Skelton read the names of fellow veterans who weren't there. Some died in battle, but a lot of the names he read died back here at home.
Lieutenant Ben Larson was my fellow South Dakotan classmate at West Point. Died from his struggles with dealing with his combat tours when he came back.
And Skelton was honest about his own issues, right there in front of General Brown, about drinking way too much when he got out of the hospital, to the point where his men locked him up, dried him out, and made him get therapy. And there's the physical toll of more than 80 surgeries, and dealing with the red tape as he becomes a veteran.
Take a look at me, 17 plus years of active duty. I should be celebrating. Instead, I'm bitter, I'm upset, I'm frustrated, I'm angry.
His palate still isn't fixed. The last attempt was a 17-hour surgery to graft a piece of his good right arm to the roof of his mouth, but that hasn't completely worked. Right now, Skelton eats mostly through a feeding tube in his stomach, and last year the VA told him to change the brand of nutritional liquid he puts in that tube, and then told him later that the VA can't pay for that brand. To their credit, his VA physician did show up at his house with an envelope of cash for him to buy what he needed. All this is wearing him down.
The psychologist diagnoses me with recurring sustained trauma, and the source of the trauma is my inability to navigate the VA and the DOD healthcare systems.
And that's what Skelton says he wants to tackle next. He's pushing for a congressional commission that would look not only at VA, but how to connect veterans with all the resources in their home communities to head off issues like drug abuse or homelessness or depression. He also wants to focus on his 3-year-old son and be supportive of his wife, who's a marine biologist now doing an MBA. They were there at his retirement ceremony along with his mom, dad, and sister, and lots of others he thanked by name.
Reggie Hammerker saved my ass a lot in Afghanistan. Was Eric Eichner, Battle of Fallujah.
There are lots of reasons DJ Skelton shouldn't be here.
So thank you. This is my family.
But the room was full of the reasons he still is. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Arlington, Virginia.